Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 774. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Just let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and handling. I was waiting for days now, at least 3 or 4 days here, waiting after I finished the book of Revelation. Actually, it's 2 days. To find out exactly what it is that the Lord wants me to do. And it's a toss-up between Psalms and Proverbs. But I'm going to bring a little bit of the book of Psalms, the next to the last chapter, Psalm number 149. And then I'm going to start out with the first chapter of Proverbs. I also have music, but right now let's pray. Father, anoint me as always in Jesus' name, that souls may be saved. And the church, your bride, be strengthened as never before. Bind Satan. Give no place to rebuke him, Father God. And give favor, complete favor unto us in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, here I am to sing for you with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, recorded at Johnny Cash's studio in Hendersonville. I, John.
Well, and I just saw a mighty number way in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east,
and there were
three gates in the west, three gates in the north, three gates in the south,
and that made
12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, mighty new will I chance on a mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, will I chance on a mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, oh, John declared that he saw a man. He had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Cause he felt the gospel coming like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, John, take a look. Read what you see and then write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north. 12 angels in the south. 48 angels to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, the mighty Lord, I chance on a mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, I chance on a mighty number.
And that has to do with the book of Revelation. I just finished doing that book, if you've been listening to my programs. And I could do that book several times, many times, and there would be more revelation come from it every time that I do it. It's the same thing with any book that the Lord gives me to do. I go over it, and it amazes me the amount of wisdom and understanding and knowledge that comes every time I read the book of the Bible. Okay, so we're in Psalm 149, and I'm in the fourth verse, and it says, "For the Lord takes pleasure." You know, I just love it when the Lord finds pleasure. You know, because there's so many things on this earth today that give no pleasure at all to God. And it grieves him in his heart, the things that people are doing today. Because God created heaven, and he created the earth, and the fullness thereof, all the people in the world. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Now, everybody that's on earth, there's only a few of his people. Most of them have gone the way of Cain. They've gone the way of Baal. They're sinners, and they haven't repented yet. Hopefully, some of them will, however. So, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Those are the saints, the born-again Christians that walk in the Spirit. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Well, the meek are not those that are meek before men. Meek means that are meek before God. I mean, I used to think, well, meek means that you just have to be kind of mousy, or like a mouse or some Casper milquetoast, or a person that really just lets everybody push them around and do whatever they want to them. That isn't meek. The Lord wants his saints to execute judgment, on the people that are evil, kings, and to bind them in fetters. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory, not the people of the world, because the people of the world are not joyful at all. They're doing everything they can to seek some kind of entertainment, to entertain them for a brief period of time. They go to these different workshops where they tell jokes and things like that, and they're just silly bunch of silly little savages, you know, that tell jokes for a living. So let the saints be joyful in glory. In glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Well, why wouldn't you praise God who created the heavens and the earth and human beings and all the animals and birds? Who else deserves praise? Some stinking football player, basketball player, baseball player, somebody like that? They don't deserve any praise because they carried a ball or made a basket. Isn't that something? Grown men playing games, because the Lord doesn't reward people that do those sort of things, but he rewards those that have the high praises of not a basketball player, but God. Not a football player, but God. Not a baseball player, but God, who did something. These people didn't do anything. Or a hockey player, or a chess player, or a checker player. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, a two-edged sword, the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, because the two-edged sword works two ways, is what it's saying, because if you do what the Lord says, then the sword swings down in your favor, and everything goes primarily, well, at least if what happens is you stay in the praises of the Lord, and you stay happy, and you can sing aloud upon your bed, because you know that God is with you, whether you live or die. After I finished the book of Revelation, I thought, well, now I can die. Well, the Lord said, no, not yet. You haven't finished the Old Testament. Yeah, I finished the whole New Testament, and I've finished quite a few of the books of the Old, but I haven't done Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, but I did the Song of Solomon, right? In their hands. So do we have some deaf mutes here? Did I do it or not?
Yeah.
Let the praises be loud, and your yes be loud. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, did I do it?
Yes.
Okay, that's not very loud, but, you know, that's better than what you were before. So let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and you have to be so skilled in the Word of God that you're holding the two-edged sword, and you know how to use it. Some people, if you have a two-edged sword in your hand, you don't know how to use it because you never swing or take vengeance on the wicked. Now, pay close attention to the next verses here. Verse 7, and what if you keep the two-edged sword in your hand for, the word of God in your hand for, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, the unsaved people? You're to execute judgment on them. And if you're not doing that, you've never done any godly thing in your life. You're to execute judgment, vengeance upon the heathen, and punishments upon the people. Well, what does that mean? That isn't anything harsh. Carrying the double-edged sword is the kind of vengeance that the Lord wants you to bring upon them, because that's why they hate the two witnesses in the book of Revelation so much, is because they have the double-edged sword in their hand, and they're executing vengeance. They're telling the heathen what's going to happen to them when they die. Don't you get it? Yes. You get it?
Yes.
Amen. To execute vengeance upon the heathen, the sinners, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains. Now, this is what the Lord told me. He said, if you get my word out, they will not destroy you. Because his word means that it's telling people what they are and what's going to happen to them for being the way they are. Okay, and that's what I do. And so far, after 44 years, the Lord has kept me, has he not?
Amen.
Okay, and so what this word, when I execute vengeance upon the heathen, or as she used to call it, heathen, and punishments upon the people, to verse 8, to bind their kings with chains. Because when you expose Satan, it could be the king of your country, the president, you bind that dude because you've let the cat out of the bag. And it binds them because they know. And it's like the one that projects himself as being the king of the world is the Pope. And so I really take vengeance on him because he is so evil and wicked. And some people think that that's wrong to do. Some people in the government now, under the orders of the Pope, are saying all religions must be under one roof. We can't be different. No one can be different. We all have to be evil, like the Muslims who say all white people should be murdered. This is the most rotten, filthy, because they were trained by the Vatican. I have books that I'll send you free of charge if you'd like to see it, of how the Muslim religion began. It began right at the Catholic cult. And to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishments upon the people, to bind their kings, not only the people, but their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron. Because the word of God swings both ways. It goes good for the people of the Lord, and these messages edify the people of the Lord, the saints. Yeah. And what it does to the wicked, though, is it causes them, it binds them with fetters, chains and fetters of iron. So verse 9 says, to execute upon them the judgment written. So we're telling them what's going to happen to you. The judgment that God writes in his word, that he gave to the prophets and to the psalmist David and to his son, the preacher, which is Solomon, he gave these to execute upon them the judgments written. This honor have all his saints. So if you're a born-again Christian, you have that honor. But if you don't use these things that the Lord said, you have no honor at all. As a matter of fact, there's double judgment against you for being afraid. That's what the Lord means when he says that the cowards, in other words, the people that are weak, they're meek before man, but they're not meek before the Lord to do what he says. Okay, so we're to execute upon these people kings, all the people of the world, kings and nobles. We tell them what the Lord's going to do, how he's going to judge them. So to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Not just one of us, but all of us are expected to give pleasure to the Lord. We're expected to execute judgment upon all the people of this world, including popes, presidents, kings, and nobles. And if you haven't got the guts to do that, knowing that God backs you up, and this honor, you don't want the honor, then you're just saying, I'm not a saint. Because you don't want the honor. This honor belongs to all the Lord God's saints, those of us that are born again of the Spirit. And so by preaching this, it also executes judgment on all the people supposedly that are saints that are not executing his judgment. Because that shows that you don't want the glory of God, you don't want the honor of God, you don't want to please God. So you have to be meek before the Lord, but bold before the people. Hopefully you understand that. Do you?
Yes.
Okay, then there's no excuse for you either. And then it ends, praise you, the Lord. Praise God. Now, we're going to start out with the book of Proverbs here. Verse 1, chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Now, Solomon also wrote several other books. He wrote Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon. He wrote also the book of Wisdom. Not many people know that because they think that all that is in the King James Version of the Bible is all there is. But the Book of Wisdom was also written by King Solomon, and it's a very powerful book. It's easily as good as Proverbs. So the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2, to know wisdom. Do you know wisdom or what it is or what it's for? Wisdom is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have any fear of God, you don't have any wisdom at all. You're zilch, zero. To know wisdom and instruction from God, that is, to perceive the words of understanding, so that you have enough of God in you to be able to understand, to perceive what the words of understanding mean. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Well, you know, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, the Lord says that people are not to tempt the Lord. These skydivers and people that risk their lives, they're in racing 300 miles an hour, and then people give them such honor when they get killed. They tempted the Lord, and thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Because what you're doing is living a very precarious life. You could easily be killed, and you think that you're going to leave something behind. You're gone for a week or so, and nobody remembers you anymore anyway. And especially God. God will allow your soul to spend eternity in hell for tempting him. So even Jesus never tempted the Lord. The devil told him to jump off of a mountain, and that God's angels would stop him from falling and bear him up. Well, the Lord answered Satan, as you should, by saying, thou shalt not tempt, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. To receive the instruction of wisdom, the fear of God. Before I feared God, I had no wisdom whatsoever, neither do you. It's for sure. But when I knew he really existed and knew everything that I was doing, then I became very frightened of the Lord to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice in judgment, and equity. Now, the judges today don't have any wisdom, justice, judgment, or equity. The judges and the prosecuting attorneys, they love to prosecute God's people. So they have to receive the instruction of the fear of God. The fear of God makes you afraid to do the things that you people are doing. If you feared God, you wouldn't be prosecuting Christians because they're doing what the Bible says. Actually, what you are tools in the hands of Satan. So to receive the instruction of wisdom is to receive the beginning of wisdom and wisdom itself. The beginning of wisdom is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. And fear, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, receive the instruction of wisdom. Okay, when you know that God hates you if you fornicate or if you're committing adultery or if you're a lesbian or a homosexual, that will stop you. If you know you'll go to hell for that, will stop a fool. Will not be stopped, but if you have anything in you at all and you have an experience with the Lord, then you'll receive the instruction of this wisdom or the fear of the Lord. And then you'll start executing justice, proper judgment according to the Word of God, and equity. You won't make up different penalties for different people just because you don't like the way they comb their hair, or you won't give it to Christians by giving them the book, as a lot of the judges do and the prosecuting attorneys. But you have no fear of the Lord. And so what I tell the people, God is going to kill you. If God tells me that he's going to kill you, I'm going to tell you that. And it happens every time, every single time that I do that, because I'm going with God. I walk with God, And I know when he talks to me and tells me that you're going to get it. Don't you get it? Okay, so the best thing to do is, if this is getting to you the Word of God, then receive the instruction of His fear, wisdom, justice. Start executing justice and judgment and equity. Don't be looking for some promotion by man, because God will promote you higher than man could ever think of promoting you. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple. Even a simple-minded people like you people can become subtle. And to the young man, you can receive knowledge. If you receive what God says, then you're receiving the greatest knowledge and wisdom and understanding of all. But you won't receive it at all unless you receive first wisdom, the fear of the Lord. That's how I started getting wisdom, is the Lord put fear in me. I never sought the Lord like I do if He hadn't come down in that office and proved to me that He existed. Now, some people say, how do we know He exists? Well, the way you know that He exists is by those of us that have received the fear of the Lord, because there's no way, no one could ever stop me from selling the Beatles album. I have a unreleased Beatles album that was given to me by Peter Best, the original drummer of the Beatles. And it's all the Beatles, and even two extra Beatles on there, Stu Sutcliffe and Tony Sheridan, which I understand they died of narcotics, I don't know. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So you begin having the knowledge of the Word of God to know what you can do, and that means you can't tempt the Lord. You can do it, but you're just setting yourself up for an eternity in hell. You know, I see people speeding by us on the freeways, and I always say, that guy can't wait to go to hell, because he's tempting the Lord, and he's endangering the lives of many people as well. If you got a flat tire, I've seen many people get a flat tire and they're going fast and they leap over the girders or the separations between the oncoming traffic, and they ram into people and kill, murder. You know, some people, because they have no subtlety, they're still simple. If they received the Word of God, the wisdom and understanding and the justice and judgment of the Lord, then they'd have some subtlety. The simple people become having a little bit of subtlety and knowledge and discretion. Verse 5, a wise man will hear what the Lord says and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. It's like different people, they like to work out, but they're eating wrong. I mean, this is a very small part of subtlety. But they're trying to lose weight, and they're eating all kinds of pastas and breads and butter and dairy and all kinds of steak and beef and things like that, full of fat, burgers. And you tell them, look, I know from working out with world's champions, I've worked out right next to some of the biggest bodybuilders in the world, and I know they don't eat the way you're eating. And you say you just can't lose weight. Well, that's because you don't attain unto wise counsel. The Bible says that we're supposed to take care of our bodies, not to make a religion out of it, but to. It's easy to fight the different, your taste buds and your desires. So, verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation. What does this mean, to understand the proverb and the interpretation of it? The words of the wise. The wise are those that speak of what God says, and their dark sayings. Dark sayings means sayings that the people that are in darkness don't understand. It's too dark for them. The light is dark, darkness to the simple. But it's very bright and understandable by those of us that have understanding, that know the Lord. But the words of the wise and their dark sayings. It's so dark for you people that don't want to know anything about God. Now then, we are out of time. That is just perfectly. So right now we just need to pray. All of you that want to be united to wisdom, knowledge, understand the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is also wisdom, complete wisdom, so that you can be perfect with the saints. Now I know that a lot of people, they're witches that are saying that no one is perfect. Those are witches. Those are people pretending to be Christians, but they're angels. They prepare themselves as angels of light, and they're actually the wicked angels of darkness. So make sure that you don't listen to them, but listen to the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything on earth and everything everywhere. So say this prayer to him so that you can be wise and have understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit. Wash all my former filthy sins in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord for that. And Sharon, tell everyone how to receive a copy of this program, number 774.
Go to alamuministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamuministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078, or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tune in tomorrow for another powerful message of understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord.
God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.